OnlineAmmo.com. Their mission, your ammunition. Now is the time to stock up if you want the best selection of hard-to-find ammo. Friendly and knowledgeable customer service, quality and selection you can count on, and the ammo you need delivered fast right to your door. OnlineAmmo.com is the real deal. And my buddy Hank Hayes, the VP of OnlineAmmo.com and Master of Firearms Training and Self-Protection, wants you to have the code ship free now on all orders over $200. OnlineAmmo.com is more than just an ammo retailer. They also have optics, accessories, and firearms for sale at OnlineAmmo.com. Their mission, your ammunition. OnlineAmmo.com.
Nothing less than overt acts of aggression against the American people and their rights.
Exercise your rights in a safe way.
Stupidity to think that someone hell-bent on violating the law against murder will magically be stopped by a gun control law.
Politicians that infringe on our God-given rights. He calls them out. He's not here to play.
Well, you heard the man. He said it twice. Let's go. We are locked in. We are loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. This is the podcast all about firearms, the Second Amendment, and all things pertaining thereto. And you know me. I am Royce, your host. Yep, still reeking of gunshot residue, toxic masculinity, and that tantalizing whiff of the cologne of my people, Hops Number 9. As we bring you both barrels, baby, yes, sir, and no suppressor, as we talk all things about the firearms industry, the Second Amendment, and such. If you would like to have first access to all episodes, you can be a Patreon sponsor for as little as $5 a month and get first access to all episodes. Got a new episode dropping every Tuesday and Thursday right now. Sometimes I don't get them out there exactly on time, but if you want them before everybody else, be a Patreon sponsor, and you can do that at patreon.com. / Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. Also, you can check out the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast page on Farcebook. You can see where all the links to the to several of the most popular podcast platforms, as well as the latest episodes of the program. I post them there. Well, let's get right on into the meat and taters of the program today, where there's a lot going on. I've told you there's an absolute war going on against our right to keep and bear arms. You've already known that, I know, for a long time, but they are really stepping it up, and they are doing their dead level best to disarm us because they've got plans for us. Make no mistake about that. And Mr. Biden, well, it's not him. It's actually Obama behind the scenes. Is in the process of trying to get rid of the acting ATF director, a man named Marvin Richardson. He's actually a 30-year veteran of the agency, and he's actually slated for retirement next year, which is kind of shocking that he wants to just drive him out of that seat. Well, always ask the why question, and I think that's going to be answered here today. And here's an article by Kim Edwards, where he talks about this very thing. And he said, acting ATF director Marvin Richardson is a 30-plus year veteran of the agency who's slated for retirement later this year, which makes this news from the Reload's Stephen Gutkowski pretty shocking. Richardson has been demoted from his current role and has been replaced by U.S. Attorney Gary Restaino, who was just appointed by Biden, Obama, as the top federal prosecutor for the District of Arizona 6 months ago. Now, once again, ask why. There's always a reason, and it's usually buried deep. Now, you notice I keep using the name Obama after I say Biden, right? Because I don't care what you say. Biden is not intelligent enough to pull these moves off by himself. We're talking about a man who turns around and shakes hands on worldwide television with imaginary people and has to have an Easter bunny corral him at certain events and push him back in the direction he needs to go. This man is losing it. I don't want to be derogatory towards senior citizens, especially the ones that are afflicted with Alzheimer's or dementia, which our current so-called president seems to be. But and also, I don't like the fact that Obama is using him and abusing him, and he's committing elderly abuse and abuse of the mentally incapacitated. And he is using Biden as the front guy to take the fall, take the blame, take the punishment while he sits in the back and does all the directing. If you think I'm making all that up, I got news for you. You're going to find out soon enough who's been pulling the strings the whole time. So the article continues. Well, first of all, I don't know if you realize this. David Chipman, the flaming idiot who was originally proposed to and nominated as the ATF director by Biden, Obama, and he was soundly rejected because he is a kook. He is a hater of the Constitution and a hater of the Second Amendment. And he was his first choice for ATF director. And he was very highly critical of Richardson also. So I want to remind you, birds of a feather all flock together. He accused Mr. Richardson of being too friendly with the firearms industry. Okay, let me get this straight. This is an industry that abides by the dictations of the ATF and all the rules and all the edicts from on high and all the laws that are belched from the mouth of the acting director and the rulemaking and stuff that are actually laws because you can get locked up if you break them. Being too friendly with a lawful industry. Okay, that should tell you what you need to know. Oh, it gets worse. Believe me, hang with me here because it's going to get a lot worse. And we're going to be looking at some things that are going to make you go, oh my goodness, I need more ammo. Okay. The article continues. The New York Times even points to Richardson's attendance at this year's shooting, hunting, and outdoor trade show as one of the things that led to his demotion. Now you let that sink in, right? Just let that sink in, okay? Just chew on that for just a second. Here's the man who was tasked to oversee an agency that, according to the left, is responsible for regulating the firearms industry. And that's their sole mission, of course. Yes, they're such a benign, benevolent force for good. And he gets demoted simply for attending the shooting, hunting, and outdoor trade show. Okay, chew on that for just a second. Well, he will remain at the agency as deputy director to advise Mr. Restaino, the officials said, the ones that are trying to remain anonymous. At least some ATF sources perceive Richardson's demotion as a politically motivated punishment. You better believe it. A second ATF source with dozens of years' experience confirmed Richardson is being replaced by Restaino. They said the demotion was likely a result of perceptions inside the administration that Richardson, here it is again, is too friendly towards the gun industry. Yeah, you can't be going and being friendly with a bunch of law-abiding people now. Yeah, we can't have that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and why not? Maybe because this administration is lawless? Yeah, well, birds of a feather flock together, right? Well, if the agency was so lawful and so above board, why wouldn't they be chummy with the gun industry? I mean, he said, I wanted to make sure you caught that. The obvious implication here is they want somebody who hates the gun industry. What else can you deduce from this? They want somebody who literally hates the gun industry in the position of acting director of the ATF. Somebody who will wage war against it, literally, and break whatever laws necessary to do so. And you think I'm making that up? We're just getting into it. We'd like to throw some facts at you here just a little bit about the one that is being proposed to sit in the big chair at the ATF, because he ain't no choir boy. This alludes to an imminent assault by this administration and their lapdogs at the ATF upon the gun industry. And now you know. Totalitarians have no trouble finding an excuse to get rid of somebody in a powerful position in order to make way for their chosen enforcer, somebody that they want to put there who's going to get the job done and leave this guy that they're choosing will wage a scorched earth war against the industry. I assure you. Back to the article. One source said gun control activists and the Biden administration have increasingly viewed maintaining a close working relationship with the industry as, quote, detrimental to the agency's mission. What? It continued, the fact that he has those relationships may not have sat well with the current administration, the source said, and I'm sure that might have helped them push him out. Now, does that not tell you all you need to know about the ATF and their handlers and the Democrat Communist Party? Does that also reveal what their true mission is? That's their word now, not mine. Mission. Detrimental to the agency's mission, if just simply because he was working closely with the lawful members of a lawful industry. So exactly what is the mission, therefore, of the agency? Well. The fact of the matter is that Obama Biden wants his man in charge of the ATF, and the one he wants to put there permanently is Mr. Stephen Dettelbach. Remember this name. It's about to be said a lot. Stevie Dettelbach. Now, why do they want him? Well, because Biden, Obama, knows he can trust Dettelbach to do whatever it takes, including break the law if necessary, in order to shut down the gun industry, because that is their mission. Make no mistake about it. I've repeatedly said here over the past few months, their job and their desire and their efforts are all aimed at disarming we the people. Even if they have to do it state by state, they don't care. They want us disarmed. You know why. Whenever totalitarian communists choose people for positions of authority, they choose the worst of the worst. Criminally minded scumbags, literally, who have no qualms about violating the law and anyone's rights if they feel it's necessary to accomplish the mission. That's pretty much what happened at Waco, by the way. They'll choose somebody who will brutally enforce the whims of the dictator. Yeah, the same one that chose them for that position. And that's why O'Biden chose Stevie Dettelbach. He said, well, who's Stevie Dettelbach? Well, he's a scumbag. That's who he is. He's a criminally minded scumbag. He was part of the Obama machine. He's currently facing a lawsuit. He's co-defendant right now in a lawsuit for violations of the RICO statute that he committed while working under Obama. Do you understand now why they want this guy in there? Yes, this guy works for Obama. Is it any shock to you then that Obama, would choose him now to head up the most brutal agency ever to be spawned on the American shores, on the American continent? Yes, RICO statute violations. And that's what he was working in a position of government service under Obama. Yes, this is fixed to get really nasty, people. Wait till you hear about some of the things that are being levied against him and multiple other defendants who worked under the Obama administration. First, let's take a quick commercial break and hear from my friends out at shootingclasses.com and go to weapons. And we'll be right back on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Don't go anywhere because Captain Robin and Listener Retention Squad are standing by. Shootingclasses.com. If you are a firearms instructor, that's the only logical place to run your firearms business from. Shootingclasses.com. You can set up your page there, set up your profile, set up your classes, take payments there. Your certificates are auto-generated, rosters are auto-generated, and also sends emails out to your students before the class, reminding them at least a week or two out they have a class coming up. And I can't find any other platform out there where it makes sense to run your business from if you're a firearms instructor. Everything's right there. Even if you want to print your financial reports come tax time, it's all right there at shootingclasses.com. If you're a student, set up an account out there and you get matched up with some serious, serious firearms instructors. Men like David Boone Benton, Israel Matos, Chris Tanto Ferranto, and guys like that, Bill Orndorff, Bruce Corey. Those are the guys that actually founded shootingclasses.com. It is, I'll tell you what, it's genius. And it simply doesn't make sense to try to run your business from any other platform. Shootingclasses.com.
Hoorah! I'm Stephen Shoemaker. I serve as a Sergeant E5 in the United States Marine Corps. Throughout the Corps' rich history, the rifle has been the go-to weapon of choice for all Marines, as we defended ourselves, our brothers, and our country. I am proud to be part of Go-To Weapons and to have a hand in building high-quality rifles and pistols on the AR platform. Weapons that I would confidently carry into any area of operations as my go-to. We build rifles for both the military and the civilian market. We know quality. We build quality. We are quality. Go-To Weapons. Check us out at go2weapons.com. Simplify.
Big thanks to shootingclasses.com and GoToWeapons for their continued sponsorship of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Now, Mr. Stevie Dettelbach, the golden child of the O'Biden administration that they're tapping to fill the big chair at the ATF. Well, he's a scumbag and he's a criminal, and he worked under Obama before, and Obama used his talents to further his aims and his designs for America, to fundamentally transform America, into a third world dictatorship. And the Justice Association, located in Ohio, Canton, Ohio, have filed a 74-count lawsuit in which Dettelbach is named as co-defendant. 74-count lawsuit, all right? And they lay out a lot. I'm not going to go through the whole 74-count, okay? A lot of them don't apply to Dettelbach. I'm going to basically point out the ones that only apply to Dettelbach. But the Obama-nots in this case, including Dettelbach, repeatedly broke a lot of laws and the things they did during the course of their malicious and fraudulent prosecution of a man named Benjamin Suarez and Suarez Corporation Industries and some of the people that work there at SCI, Suarez Corporation Industries, including threatening the lives of entire families in an effort to get false witnesses to commit perjury so they could falsely accuse, try, and imprison the outspoken political opponents of Barack Hussein Obama. That was the whole focus right there. I'm going to read you. This is going to be a little bit of a read here. Listen to me carefully as we go through this. I'm going to put emphasis where it needs to be put and point out some things about this Mr. Stevie Dettelbach. And the lawsuit says this document serves to explain and describe the unjust, unethical, and criminal behavior of certain federal employees in their effort to investigate and wrongfully prosecute Benjamin Suarez and Suarez Corporation Industries, or SCI. The Obama administration, Obama Justice Department officials, and other federal employees from 2010 and on diverse dates thereafter engaged in an unlawful concerted effort to bring false charges against Benjamin Suarez and SCI for the simple reason that Suarez lawfully exercised his First Amendment right to speak. Since 2008, Suarez organized the funding of Republican congressional candidates. He spoke out against Democrat congressional candidates, spoke out and disagreed with the Democrat Party, and actively criticized the Obama administration and its policies. For this, Suarez and many other innocent parties suffered at the hands of a corrupt and vindictive federal prosecution brought by the Obama Justice Department. Suarez, SCI, and other victims of this conspiracy will seek redress and justice against the many parties who participated in this travesty of justice. The history of this sad tale of a government's run amok is set forth below. And here's a statement of facts, and it's a partial list because, like I said, I had to cherry pick them for time's sake. It says, at all times relevant here too, Benjamin Suarez has been active in conservative politics as a significant contributor to Republican political candidates and as the organizer of two conservative organizations, namely Empowered Citizens News Network, or ECNN, and the U.S. Citizens Association, or USCA. Both the ECNN and USCA, prior to the events complained of herein, engaged in constitutionally protected exercise of freedom of speech, which was highly critical of the policies of President Barack Obama and of various Democrat Party candidates. The U.S. Citizens Association placed advertisements criticizing President Obama, George Soros, who was a major contributor to Democrat Party campaigns and Democrat Party-linked think tanks, Democrat Senator Harry Reid, Democrat Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, Congressman John Boschieri, and Congressman Barney Frank, among others. The advertisements criticized the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act and described the policies of the Obama administration as socialist, because they were. USCA advertisements also expressed disagreement with carbon cap and trade, or the climate bill, and tax budget policies of the Obama administration. The USCA also brought a lawsuit in the United States District Court for the District of Northern Ohio in opposition to the Obama administration for the purpose of declaring the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act unconstitutional. The Empowered Citizens News Network similarly utilized mass media to oppose the administration of Barack Obama. In 2009, the U.S. Citizens Association ran a newspaper advertising campaign to support Republican congressional challenger Jim Renacci, which is credited for helping defeat the Democratic incumbent, who was also a friend of U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown, who was in turn a friend of then United States Attorney for the District of Northern Ohio, Stephen Dettelbach. This single event triggered the malicious prosecution and criminal civil rights violations against Benjamin D. Suarez. Another triggering event occurred when 15 of Suarez Corporation Industries executives and five of their spouses made campaign donations to Sherrod Brown's Republican political opponent, Joshua Mandel, and to Jim Renacci, who had by then been elected to Congress. Using the fact that the donors received bonuses from SCI as a pretext for alleging violations of federal elections law, the United States Attorney Stephen Dettelbach, by and through his assistant United States Attorney Carol Rendon, launched a massive investigation of Benjamin D. Suarez and SCI, which resulted in an unsuccessful election law prosecution, which tarnished the reputation of SCI and its founder, Mr. Suarez, caused massive economic loss to SCI, the loss of jobs, and the wrongful imprisonment of Mr. Suarez on a relatively minor obstruction charge. This was done entirely as a Democratic political vendetta against Suarez and SCI. Both Rendon and Dettelbach knew that the charges against the complainant were baseless. They knew the donors were affluent persons who did not need or require reimbursement for their donations, and that SCI's bookkeeping supported their defense that they were entitled to profit-sharing distributions. Dettelbach and Rendon knew they were engaged in a politically motivated reprisal and revenge for the Suarez's exercise of his constitutionally protected rights to criticize public officials and to support other political candidates and causes. They engineered false criminal charges against Suarez and Suarez Corporation Industries for alleged violations of federal election laws, in federal court in Cleveland, Ohio, and conducted a baseless IRS audit of the company and its leading witnesses. Despite readily available evidence that the donors, A, could have afforded to make the donations, and B, that SCI had a profit-sharing program that explained any and all payments from SCI subsequent to the gifts, SCI and Suarez became the targets of a criminal investigation by the United States Department of Justice, directed by Eric Holder, Dettelbach, Carol Rendon, and the Obama administration. The Obama administration, Dettelbach, and Rendon conspired to deprive Suarez of his right to equal protection of the law by targeting SCI for supposed violations of election finance laws that were routine practices of corporations with liberal political orientation. Employees of companies supporting Democrats and Obama regularly made contributions to the progressive candidates and had been reimbursed, but were never investigated or prosecuted by the Obama administration. For example, in 2012, Microsoft and Google employees donated nearly $3 million to the Obama campaign. A total of $5.4 million was given by the company's employees to the combined Obama presidential campaigns, yet this was ignored and never investigated. While SCI was investigated and Suarez was incarcerated. And I remember that story about the Google execs and Microsoft making those big donations that were very shady. And people raised a stink about it, but it never went anywhere. Shocking. It continues. The United States Attorney for the Northern District of Ohio, Stephen Dettelbach, planned, organized, and controlled a malicious investigation of Suarez and SCI, despite the presence of exculpatory information which was called to his attention. Dettelbach did so, endorsed by Sherrod Brown, who was enraged at Suarez for his political activism. Dettelbach willfully and knowingly misused his prosecutorial discretion by targeting Suarez and SCI for criminal prosecution solely for the reasons that they were a source of funds that benefited conservative causes and Republican political campaigns. On or about January of 2013, Defendant Dettelbach and others, by a search warrant obtained with a sealed affidavit, furthered their malicious investigation, seized thousands of confidential, privileged legal documents, and disregarded the attorney-client privilege involving SCI and its legal counsel. Dettelbach and others working under his control and supervision also utilized an employee, one Barbara Hausos, to purloin, that's steal, documents from SCI without obtaining a probable cause warrant, which was a violation of Suarez's Fourth Amendment right. Dettelbach, Rendon, and others engaged in unusual, unlawful, and unconstitutional investigative techniques, including driving a witness to suicide while intimidating and coercing witnesses to try to implicate Suarez and to mislead the grand jury to return an indictment when none was warranted. These activities were done in clear disregard of their obligations as employees of the United States. These activities were done with malice and in clear violation of Suarez's rights to a fair investigation. These activities were done by Rendon in an attempt to obtain publicity for herself and to seek career advancement, and these unlawful activities were done by others in an attempt to publish Suarez for exercising his right to support conservative causes and Republican campaigns. Both Dettelbach and Rendon continually provided inaccurate and misleading information to the FBI agents in investigating the case in violation of laws, sought to obtain a wrongful conviction of Suarez, and on information and belief, intimidated Michael Puderbaugh to withhold exculpatory testimony from the court. And now, if I read the entire thing, we'd be here for a while, but there's also things in there about some of the other players literally secretly calling one man and meeting in the grocery store parking lot. When he got in the vehicle, he realized there was somebody else in the truck also. And that person literally held up a picture of that man's family and said, "Nice family you got here. It'd be a shame if something happened to him, wouldn't it?" A direct threat to the man's family. And then they took the man, made sure he left his cell phone in the truck, and they walked him into the woods and basically tried to coerce him by threat against his family to make false and perjurious statements against Mr. Suarez. That's the kind of people you're dealing with here, people. That's the kind of person they want at the head of the ATF. Now you know who Stephen Dettelbach is and how he would direct the ATF. Now you understand how he would have no problem filing false criminal charges against gun industry members in the manufacturing, wholesale, and retail sections thereof. He would have no problem doing it because it's happened before to multiple lawful gun dealers. And that action is about to pick up, I guarantee you. So we need to start thinking about what we're going to do to counter this. And I tell you, it doesn't help that certain people are endorsing Dettelbach. Yes, people in the law enforcement profession are endorsing this criminally minded piece of worthless communist trash. They're endorsing him for the position as the head of an agency that's already proven itself to be murderous, unlawful, and disdainful of the Constitution and contemptuous towards the rights of the people. Yeah, I think they found the right guy for the job then. That's what I think. Because now there's a sheriff's group that are actually endorsing Mr. Dettelbach. I'm going to tell you about this sheriff's group when we come back for this brief commercial timeout on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. We're going to hear from my friend Anthony out of Counter-Strike Tactical and Bill Stasak out at WJS Guns. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
Counter-Strike Tactical is the best little gun store in Melbourne and proud sponsors of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Visit us at 1008 Strawbridge Avenue and see the custom AR builds by Anthony Vallejo, owner and combat veteran, plus go-to weapons brand rifles, AR-15, AK-47s, handguns, ammo, tactical rifle accessories, and more. Anthony also offers laser engraving and serifoam. So stop in at 1008 Strawbridge Avenue and visit the best little gun store in Melbourne. Or call 321-499-4949 and tell Anthony that Roy sent you.
My buddies out at WJS Guns in Merritt Island, Bill Stasak and Dalton and Troy and the gang out there do a fine job taking care of all their customers, including law enforcement officers who want to buy Blue Label firearms.
He's a Blue Label dealer for multiple manufacturers. Also, very female friendly. They do a great job serving all of their customers. They will get you squared away and well regulated in your Second Amendment rights. He offers handguns, long guns, a great selection of 1791 gun leather brand holsters, also body armor, ammunition, magazines. What are you looking for? Bill's got you covered out there at WJS Guns. Check him out at WJSGuns.com. If you want to do some fishing, he's got you covered with fishing tackle. Bill is a total outdoor store. WJSGuns.com. Check him out there. Do make sure you tell him you heard about him on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
Thank you, Anthony, and thank you, Bill. I appreciate you guys continuing to sponsor this program. And now let's get back to business, yeah, because I told you before the break that there's a sheriff's group that is actually endorsing this, what should I say, this lawless, criminally-minded twit named Dettelbach, who was one of Obama's boys, one of his lapdogs, one of his bulldogs, and who had no problem violating the law, violating the oath of office he swore as a United States attorney, and maliciously and criminally going after Mr. Suarez and his corporation with a bogus, a bogus indictment, trying to get him imprisoned simply because he spoke out against Barack Obama. So now this sheriff's group, the major county sheriffs of America, and the head of that organization, known as Sheriff Dennis Lemma, they recently sent a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and they expressed their support of Stephen Dettelbach to lead the ATF. And they represent, I think, about 100 or more of some pretty large elected sheriff's offices across the country. But that really doesn't mean anything to me, to tell you the truth, because these guys, number one, they're not the rank and file. And I don't believe they represent the rank and file of law enforcement at all. They represent guys. Unfortunately, there are some sheriffs in this country who love the power and they love to be politicians to gain the office. And as Mr. Tom Knighton said in an article he wrote about it, he said, in other words, these are the sheriffs most likely to be fans of gun control, not because it works, but because it gets them elected. And that pretty much sums it up for me right there. Those are the guys that are all about fawning over little Stevie Dettelbach and thinking he's the greatest thing since sliced cheese, and he needs to be sitting in the big chair at the ATF. The whole purpose of the ATF and their mission presently is to walk and march in lockstep with the Democrat Communist Party and to assist and aid in disarming the entirety of the populace of the United States of America. If you think that's hyperbole or I'm just really over exaggerating, I don't think you're paying attention. I think you're watching too much of the news, too much CNN, and yes, probably too much Fox News. I don't trust them at all. I don't. Matter of fact, I don't watch any news programs anymore because by the time I get the story, all the crap's been filtered out of it, and I start realizing that what I've heard after finally getting it and after getting the real report looks nothing like the first reports did. That's why I don't trust first reports. That's why a lot of times I'll get a first report that will apply to, you know, be a perfect food for my program. And I purposely will hold back and wait because 10 times out of 10, I should, it ends up not being what they said it was in first reports. So I don't trust first reports. I don't trust media. And I dadgum sure don't trust Democrat communists because they want to do us harm. Whether you agree with that or not, I don't care. That is their purpose. They want to disarm us because they want to get rid of us. Listen to me. They have no problem committing genocide. They've been doing it since 1973 against the most defenseless infants here in America. You think if they'll butcher a small child, that you think they'd hesitate for a second to hire men and women who would think nothing about butchering you? Don't you think twice. I mean, don't you even give that a second thought, because they sure won't give it a second thought. They'll run you off to a camp in a boxcar and they'll march you into the ovens quicker than anything. Don't you think they won't? If you think it can't happen here or won't happen here, can't happen in this century or won't happen in this, you ain't paying attention at all. Now, here's an article I'm about to read you. We're going to close with this by Mr. Alex Madagian. He is descended from the Armenian people who were slaughtered by the Turks. Yeah, do you understand there was another Holocaust that took place and that preceded Hitler's, and it happened during World War I. And this is his story, and I'm going to read it as he wrote it. He said, "How many people would be free and alive today if it were not for the legacy of gun control?" Conversations about gun control tend to deal with abstract future forecasts. It's good pro-gun advocates are concerned about personal freedom, burdensome regulations, or punitive punishments, but it's important to remember that millions of very real people and their descendants would be alive today were it not for gun control paving the way for tyrannical regimes. We often forget the human cost behind those statistics. I will never forget because entire branches of my family were wiped out due to gun control. Both sides of my family are Armenian, which is an ethnic group from the Caucasus Mountains who have lived there for over 3,000 years. However, for about the last 600 years, they have lived under the shadow of the Turks. In the time of the Ottoman Empire, they treated my ancestors as second-class citizens, forcing them to pay special taxes and endure cruel humiliations. This discrimination, fostered by hundreds of years, helped pave the way for the event known as the Armenian Genocide. But because it was a genocide, it was more than random killings or acts of terror. This was state-orchestrated through laws enacted by the government. Pay close attention here on purpose, people. Although there were many cases of persecution by the state and other ethnic groups, the Armenians had a warrior culture and kept themselves armed with weapons of the time. Well, with the weapons of the time. They knew danger was always present, and they knew how to fight. However, when the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire fell and was replaced by the Young Turk regime, the Armenians were promised freedom and equality. They received neither. Is that sounding familiar? At first, the government created by the Young Turks appeared to be modeled after a secular Western democracy. The Armenians embraced their promises, and some even joined their government. During this time, the Ottomans started passing penal codes, which created the groundwork for gun control. According to the Ottoman code, here's a quote from it, those who, without permission, carry or sell such prohibited cartridges, weapons, gunpowder, or explosive substances are also punished with imprisonment and by taking a fine. This is the transliteration from the text here, so just so you know. There are also similar regulations on manufacturing and references to gun licensing. Does this sound familiar yet? Not discriminatory from the start, they have no mention of Armenians, but once the regulations were on the books, it was not hard to institute them specifically on ethnic minorities. Okay, sidebar. Just as the carry permit laws here in Florida during the Jim Crow days, where they didn't mention black people in particular, but they were never enforced against white people. They were definitely and vigorously enforced against black Americans here in Florida. And now you understand why I despise, one of the reasons why I despise the permitting process. He continues, the Turks' process was to round up the Armenians, demand that they leave their belongings behind for them to loot later, and force them to march through the desert until they died. All of this was done under the guise of being for their own safety. Pay attention. Even though Turkey was in the middle of World War I, the Minister of War, Enver Pasha, signed an order that all Armenian soldiers fighting in the Turkish army were to be disarmed. Shortly after, a systematic effort began to disarm all Armenians in the empire. According to an official proclamation posted to the village of Trebizond, I'm not sure I pronounced that right, Armenians are compelled to obey the government's decisions. If there are any persons among them who dare to use arms against soldiers or gendarmes, arms will be used against such persons and they shall be arrested dead. Likewise, those who refuse to depart, disobeying the government's decision and hiding themselves here and there, and those persons who hide them in their houses or feed them to help them to hide, will also be sent to court-martial and to be condemned to death. Wow, that shifted gears fast, didn't it? Armenians being prohibited to carry any firearms, they must surrender to the government all kinds of arms, pistols, and daggers that they have hidden in their houses or out of doors. This is the decree that went forth. The government has been informed about the quantity of these arms and those persons who try to secret them. Instead of delivering them up to the government, will be severely punished when the arms are discovered by the government. Similar edicts were issued throughout Anatolia, and notice how they knew who owned the guns. One would like to assume that they did not have a sufficiently advanced bureaucracy to have details on some of the more rural areas back in 1915, but with the small amount of gun control they had on the books, they were able to massacre millions with little or no resistance. My great-grandfather's brother, Hagop Madagagian, details exactly how they enacted such edicts in his village of Tomarza. And he stated, every man, having buried his weapon underground, was looking for a way of denial. Some who saw their rescue in betrayal began to slander this or that one. In the name of the government, a notice was displayed in all areas demanding that every man surrender his weapon in person, otherwise they would be condemned to death. Thus, in accordance with the announcement, all weapons, even hunting guns, were surrendered to the government. Yet, the matter was not resolved that way. There were repeated beatings and torture with demands for new weapons. And I remember reading about that too myself, how they would, even when they turned their arms in, they would still be beaten and tortured and burned to try to get them to give up where the other weapons are, where their neighbors' weapons were. Virtually every Armenian member of my family's ancestral village died in the death marches through the desert. This April 24th will be the 107th anniversary of the Armenian genocide, in which we now remember the 1.5 Armenians and hundreds of thousands of Greeks, Assyrians, Chaldeans, Maronites, and other Christian minorities were mercilessly murdered by a genocidal regime. This evil was only possible with simple-sounding regulations often touted today as nothing more than, here it is, common-sense solutions. He says, I'm a proud American citizen, and because I carry this history, I will do everything in my power to make sure this never happens in my adopted country. We must repeal attempts by the government to regulate our absolute constitutional right to keep and bear arms, which is explicitly underscored by the fact that it shall not be infringed. I encourage support for state and federal legislation that allows more private ownership, such as constitutional carry or Second Amendment sanctuary laws. Well, I'm with you there, but we already have a law in place, dear friend, that states very plainly that that right shall not be infringed, and all laws to the contrary are unlawful. They are illegal. But that doesn't stop our enemies in our midst from continuing to push forward, just like the Turks sought to disarm the Armenians and then slaughtered them. Well, you know, they're well over 1.5 million. They would have no problem doing that here. Matter of fact, there has been leaked statements by some of the communists living here in America saying that they believe they're going to have to kill at least 30 million American people before they're able to make the others see the light. Are you listening? Pay close attention, people. This guy Dettelbach might as well be the devil incarnate sitting in the seat up there at the ATF. He's one of Obama's willful enforcers. There's a reason they got rid of the other guy. They want this guy there because they've got plans, and their plans are coming fast. Yes, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Start stocking up. Beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. Yeah, I know I've been saying that for years. I'm going to keep saying it because as long as we're stocked up, the less they're inclined to make overtly aggressive moves against us. I tell you what, I was really heartened spending the day out with the quantified performance shooting match out there. There were guys out there shooting 5.56 rounds like Ash Hess at 900 yards. All of these guys were absolutely amazing with the shots they were making at varying distances. In spite of heavy crosswinds, they're still ringing the steel and hitting the targets even out to 900 yards with AR platform weapons. And I know that the government knows men like that exist. That was just about 30 of them. There's tens and thousands, and if not millions more just like that in this country. Many of them have military training. And we're not going to put up with this crap, and they know it. They don't want to come at us. They don't want to come at us overtly if they don't have to. But they will pass laws to disarm us first because they know if they don't disarm us first, we're going to eat them alive, and they know it. So don't you ever, ever countenance the idea of giving up your firearms. You go ahead and purpose in your heart right now that you will die before you do, because I've already purposed that in my heart. You do it with me. If they know we have that resolve, it'll keep them from doing something stupid, and that's what I'm all about. If we can hold back the bloodshed but with a simple show of force, I'm all for that. I don't want another civil war. I don't want to fight the government. I don't want to have to shoot people. But I'll be danged before I turn in my guns and allow them to march me across a desert or march me to the rail yard and onto a boxcar and then march me into a death camp where I die at their mercy. No, sir, and no, ma'am. Ain't gonna happen. Special thanks to my sponsors, OnlineAmmo.com, ShootingClasses.com, GoToWeapons, Counter-Strike Tactical, and WJS Guns. You guys rock. I sincerely appreciate all of you. Thank you for your continued sponsorship and making this program possible. And you know what I'm going to say now, right? That's right. Keep your guns clean, keep them loaded, and keep your head on a swivel. Keep your situational awareness about you at all times. Keep your gun on your hip. Make sure it's ready to go whenever it needs to go. And don't forget, yep, incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce out. So turn it on. Crank it up. Royce Bartlett and the Shoot.